Yes, little one, everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of their music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy their wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Felsenstein. Today we're going to talk about something that I have been researching for the past month. I'm not sure why, but I'll try to connect it and see what you think, because there's this occult groups all over the world, and people join and they voluntarily stay even after they suffer. And I've been listening a lot to specifically the Scientology cult and people's stories of what happened to them and how they got in initially to make life better for themselves and maybe even to change the entire world. But when things began to go sour and they started suffering and really going through some horrific things, the thing that kind of blew my mind was that they didn't really just pick up and leave, even if they could. Although in Scientology, it's not that simple. You cannot just pick up and leave. As it turns out, they do everything in their power to stop you from leaving and kind of give you a mental torture chamber. At least that's what it sounds like from what these people's stories are. And so I was kind of fascinated by the fact that people can get so drawn in and so completely indoctrinated that they don't try to walk away, even when it becomes really painful. And so I've been hearing a lot of stories about Scientology. I also was listening a little bit to other organizations and cults like that, like Jehovah's Witnesses. But my fascination is not only for the fact of the psychological effects that people suffer when they go through stuff like that. That's fascinating by itself, and the fact that they really kind of seem to find themselves in the darkness where nothing seems to be able to get them out. It seems like it's a hopeless thing. And from what I've heard, people have been stuck for 20, 30 years before they were actually able to wake up and to leave. And I don't know, it just kind of really breaks my heart. And so I thought about why I can relate to it so much and why it really captured my attention for a long time. And I'm thinking that maybe because I might have experienced it myself to a certain extent, even though I really never thought of it as a cult, because I was brought up in a lot of the elements that my upbringing had were very similar to cult elements, like the fact that we didn't really associate with anyone outside the group. I mean, we were nice to people outside, but they were not part of our social life. That was one part of that. We didn't have the part, at least not for me, I don't think for anyone, where we were asked to accept a lot of painful things or to cause pain to anybody else. Like in Scientology, it seemed like hurting each other, yelling at each other, abusing each other, belittling each other was part of their culture. And I think that's part of a cult, but I didn't have that part. But I did have the part where we were completely sheltered from anyone who didn't believe the same things that we believe. There was no socializing outside our belief system. The belief system, I was definitely within a bubble where It was at school, at work, with friends, with family. They were all within the same belief system. We were certainly not allowed to read books and literature that negated our way of thinking, which was a very orthodox. And it has to do with religion. It seems like it's about religion. It seems like the Scientology, well, they call it religion. As it turns out, their leader, L. Ron Hubbard, decided to make it a religion because it was just easier to get away with not having to pay taxes and also a lot of other conveniences, not because you really thought of it as a religion, but Jehovah's Witnesses really do think of it as a religion, and my religion was a very orthodox, very sheltered, definitely categorized as a religion. I think even if I look into Islam, which was one of the cults that I look into, it definitely is a cult because they can't read literature outside of their own literature. They can't really socialize with anyone that is not part of Islam because it's called an apostate and they're supposed to be second-class citizens also. So that seems to be kind of like a cult. My upbringing was with Judaism, very orthodox and very structured. And we did think that our way was the only way, and it seems that that's what all of them seem to think, that our way is the only way to save the planet, to really make the planet a better place. I never even entertained the idea of leaving this family that I was born into and that society that I was born into. It didn't even cross my mind that anything else was an option for me. Because we were right and the rest of the world was wrong. So that definitely was part of a cult. I think also the reason I was so fascinated with it is because personally for me, when I was finally pushed out in a very ugly way that I left, and yeah, they really don't want to have anything to do with me because they don't want to have anything to do with anyone who isn't part of their way of life. So I was left completely shattered, completely broken, and I didn't have a clue on how to navigate through life outside of that bubble. And I didn't have any support, and I didn't have any idea that I needed support. And even though I didn't know how to navigate through life, which basically left me very vulnerable to a lot of really bad people taking advantage of me, because one of the things I learned growing up is that you don't lie. And so I always assumed that when people were telling me things, that they were telling me the truth. And that got me in a lot of trouble because it left me in a place where it's pretty naive to live life thinking, well, if they said it, then it must be so. And I was pretty young. I was still a teenager and I was alone. And so it left me in a place where I did end up doing a lot of stupid things. And some of the stupid things I did really changed my life and I can't take them back and it changed it forever. It's nothing that I can change. But being brought up inside a sheltered bubble definitely has its advantages because you know what you have to do, you accept it, you're happy about it, and you do it. There's no struggle about what life is going to be about or what you want to make with your life. There's no options in that respect. There is options with a career to a certain way. A woman, I guess, maybe cannot do certain things within certain groups, but not for me. For us, I could have basically been, professionally at least, what I wanted to be. But still, I was expected to do certain things, to get married, have a certain amount of kids, well, as many kids as I could, and behave a certain way. But it's the struggle and it's the pain that I went through when I was pushed out of this through circumstances that I didn't really ask for. I didn't want to leave the... And it is a cult, but I don't think it's one of the evil cults because it was very loving and very supportive and very accepting of each other. One of the most important things was to be happy. Happiness was looked upon as a good thing. Whereas I look at Scientology, where people were miserable and yelling at each other, screaming, "I'm happy," while you yell. I didn't experience that part, thank God. I didn't experience any punishments for anything I did that may not have been right. We didn't have that kind of thing. Punishments were not part of our society. But when I left, it wasn't an easy thing. Nobody really tried to stop me from leaving, but leaving meant losing everything that I ever knew. And being pushed out of the community without a word. They didn't try to pull me back in. They just tried to... I'm not sure what they did. But it was painful. It was very painful. And so I became obsessed with that. So that's the one thing I want to talk about. But I want to also give you another really important part of writing. Because I know a lot of you that are listening are writers and authors and love stories. And so to write a story, there are three very important elements that must exist in every story. And those three elements is what I'm going to give you today. So stay tuned. You're listening to Tippy Talk. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So the first thing that I'm actually going to do is give you the three parts of the three elements of a story that makes it a powerful story. And that's really important because when you write a story, sometimes you get stuck and you don't know. And when you know these three elements, then you basically know that the story is going to flow a certain way. And so the first part of the story has to be something that makes you vulnerable. The one thing that you really don't want to tell, that you don't want to tell. And it may be because if there's something that you don't really want to tell, it may be that you don't want to tell it because you don't want to show that kind of vulnerability. But if you want to tell a good story, you start off with something with your main character or you showing a certain amount of vulnerability. That's number one. And number two, it would have to be something either with a conflict or a struggle. Because without conflict or struggle, really, you don't really have a story. So it doesn't have to be major world-changing conflict or world-changing struggle. It could be a small struggle, like with my story, for example. So my vulnerability would be to any kind of cult or brainwashing or closed system where you're not allowed to explore things because that's what I went through. And that's what left me in a place where I was pretty much sheltered. And then my struggle would be what happened to me. First of all, I had two struggles. One would be the time when I was pushed out. And that in itself was not an easy struggle. It was conflict with my family. It was being pushed out at home by very evil men that my mother married. And he was also very fanatic within that community. He was very orthodox, very fanatic. And he would always yell and scream about that to everybody. And that pain kind of pushed me out to the street to look for other places where that pain didn't exist. And so about conflict in a story is... The conflict can also be a conflict with yourself. And really, we're always battling conflict with ourselves because our biggest enemy sometimes can be ourselves. So when you write a story, don't discount yourself as being the biggest conflict. Like for me, part of my conflict when I got pushed out of my Orthodox community was, of course, with my family and my school. But I didn't have any friends in that town where we moved to, and that was part of the reason I was pushed out. But one of the big things was, how am I hurting my mother, whom I loved, or my sisters, or my brothers, or my uncles, whom I loved, my family that loved me and supported me and gave their life to raising me, and having to hurt them was a huge conflict that I had with myself. So that's the second most important element of a story. And then the third part is a transformation that the character somehow grows from the conflict and from the struggle that they have to go through. And that growth is usually a really great ending. So if you think of yourself as a character in a story, somehow their character has to change to grow in some way from what happened to them to where the story ends. You need to have learned something or had some type of an enlightenment or a shift in a way that you think or the way you do something. So there has to be some kind of transformation that happened because of the story. And those are the three things that you're always looking for when you're writing and you want to write a good story. It's what shifts from telling an actual story versus just kind of giving an anecdote where you're relaying something that doesn't really have importance or weight, any weight to it. And if those three elements are present, it can usually be developed into a really well-structured story. So when you're thinking about your personal story, think about the moments when you were most vulnerable. Who or what were you battling, and what did you change or maybe are continuing as a result? And so I'm going to plug my story of how I got ejected from a kind of occult, brainwashed, Orthodox Jewish community into the world. And so what happened to me, here I am in this beautiful little bubble with a beautiful, loving family, with my own family, loving grandparents and uncles and friends, and the entire community was like one big, beautiful, not that we didn't have any conflicts, but we had a lot of beautiful things going on. And then my father passed away. And that left us, I left my mother alone at a very young age with five kids, the youngest being under a month. I think my little baby brother was 3 weeks old. And so it was very difficult for her to support the family and to work really hard. And so she went on and she married someone. And that's part of the community. You marry someone without knowing them really well. She barely knew him. She met him. She saw him a couple of times. Boom, she married him. Now, he was from America. And so without thinking twice, she packed up everything and we moved to New York. That's when I began being pushed out of the community, because the New York Orthodox Jewish community did not accept us. First, because we were a little bit different, and different is not acceptable within the Orthodox community. Second, I didn't speak the language. I didn't speak any English. So when I went to school, none of the kids in school really wanted to have anything to do with me. I'm not, and that's how kids are. You don't understand them. You don't play together. And then at home, I came home, and that was a very painful situation too, because the man she married was a very evil, very Orthodox, very fanatic, but very evil person, the way he treated us. So I was in pain at home, I was in pain in school, and I was in pain just because I was missing home. I wanted to go home. And so I started going outside of that bubble onto the streets of New York, down the block, to look for kids my age to play with where there was no pain. And that's when I began being exposed to different ways of life. And that's when the trouble started with that community not accepting the fact that I'm, first of all, even associating with anyone out of the community. And with the fact that the school didn't want me to associate with anyone out of the community, so I started getting kicked out of those private schools. And at home, with an evil-spirited, fanatic man freaking out that I was associating with people outside of that Orthodox. So everywhere I went, it was painful within the community. And all of a sudden, it was a little bubble that opened up that I started swimming outside of it. And it was a very difficult part in my life. It was so painful. I was so scared all the time because a lot of spying going on. People would spot me and call my school, and I would get kicked out of one school and have to go to another school, and then people would start calling that school. And even if they didn't want to kick me out, they had to kick me out because everybody in the community was complaining about me. And then I finally found myself slowly pushed out and kind of walking away into a whole brand new world that I had no clue how to navigate. Then I went through a lot of painful experiences, like kind of like a ball being bounced around. And I also was at the same time looking for answers, for a spiritual way to fill that emptiness that was left. It was almost like everything was shattered and I was looking for a way to put it together. And I said, well, if what I always thought was true and it isn't anymore, then what is the truth? I wanted to find that. I wanted to find my spiritual truth. And so I did. And I grew and I found a lot of things that sounded like they could be truth for me, but they weren't. I found a lot of things that were amazing. I did, because of my search, end up traveling all over the world, which was an amazing experience, with the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I'm very passionate about helping other people go through it so that they don't have to go through what I went through. And that's basically my struggle. I think that's probably why I'm so fascinated with any story, personal story and general story about cults, how they were created, who created them, what they really wanted. And specifically, the one I've been focusing on now is L. Ron Hubbard and Scientology and his life. And I think after all these hours and hours of listening to different testimonials and different stories of different people, including his son and his great-great-great-grandson, I think I found that at the end of the day, when you dig deep enough, the creator of all that, L. Ron Hubbard, was into Satanism and into basically the selfish pursuit of what I want, I do, and what I do because I want to, and everybody that stands in my way is going to pay the price. And obviously from something like that, nothing good can come out. So I don't think it's a good thing. I don't think it's a healthy environment. Even if he's gone, that environment of Scientology can never be healthy because it was created by an unhealthy person. And an unhealthy person cannot create a healthy, loving, and supportive environment. So that's what I'm looking for now, a healthy, loving, and supportive environment. And that's the pursuit. But more important than that, I'm looking for your story. What is your story? Where have you been? What have you done? And what have you learned? Where did you start? What kind of struggle you had to go through and what you learned from that struggle? And I guess with everything that I went through, at the end, what I really want to do is do my best to stop the pain, to help people deal with the pain and overcome it in a healthy and loving way. And I guess I've always been passionate about that, but I didn't really know exactly what it was that I wanted to do. I just knew that injustice really bothered me. Whether it was injustice against me or against anyone else, it always made me jump into action and try to stop it, and try to stop it as soon as possible. I want to hear your story. I want to hear your perspective, and I want to hear your way of thinking. So please contact me at thetippytalkshow@gmail.com. That's T-I-P-P-Y talk, T-A-L-K, show at Gmail. Email me, or you can leave a comment right here below and let us know and let me know that you have a story, because I want to hear about it. You've been listening to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Felsenstein, and I am looking forward to hearing from you and to kind of being there for you if you just don't want to be in pain anymore, and doing whatever we can to support your journey and to get you out of a painful situation into a happy situation. I know that life is a journey and it's not black and white. I'm in pain today, I'm happy tomorrow. It's a journey, it's an adventure. And so let us be part of that, if you wish. And we've come to the end of our time together here on Tippy Talk. We wish you a magical journey and let your talent be your potion. And now sit back, relax, and listen to some music that will help you figure out what the next step you want to take is.